Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the 2017 season primer for the Essendon Bombers, or as Josh has called it, the reintroduction to AFL for Essendon fans. My name's Heath, and first off, Josh, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing quite well.
A reintroduction, that's a nice way to put it for them.
Well, you know, they've had an introduction to AFL, but it was by Mick Gatto. So I think they were kind of...
Allegedly.
Well, he's saying that there was contact.
And I think that's the last we'll mention of that, the scandal.
Hey, nothing wrong with a very well-respected unionist and deal maker.
Brenton?
G'day.
And we got Will back again because he's so successful last time and was probably the only one of us that watched Essendon play last year. How you doing, Will?
Very, very good. Thank you for having me.
So we'll start there with 2016 for the Dons, and had 3 wins and finished bottom of the ladder. But really, it's probably as good as they could hope for, you'd say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that early win against Melbourne really lit a lot of pressure.
Was that round 2?
Yeah, round 2. There was a lot of talk of, you know, a winless season and, you know, 100-point thrashings win week in, week out. So to get that first win on the board, I think lifted a lot of pressure and, sort of lifted the shackles a little bit. Yes.
It was the emotional, it was the walk to the G and all that. So they had all the crowd there. And from memory, I think Melbourne got up over GWS the week before as well. So
Yeah, a couple of points, I think.
So it was right time, right place and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I thought they might win. They might beat Carlton. Mm. That was it. I thought that was it for them for the year. But so to get 3 wins. But it wasn't about the wins for them, really. It was about what else can we find? And they found Anthony Tippin Woody.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, they didn't find the records that Dank said he had.
Yep. But Waller was on the scrap heap, really.
Yeah.
If not for the banned players, would not be on the Essendon list.
Yeah, well, he was originally a rookie player, so you would imagine if the banned players were still there, he wouldn't have seen much time at all. But he came in round 1 and... rested a couple of games, but otherwise would have been, you know, was best 22 for the whole year.
Absolutely.
Well, not just that, he's still best 22, even when those guys have come back.
Yeah, absolutely. He's found his spot on a half-forward flank, and even today against Geelong, who's, I think he kicked out 4 goals.
He had a great run of play, too. Mm. He's been an absolute revelation for them.
Yeah.
In a very, very dark period, he's been a shining light. Mm.
Well, it's very unique, the situation they were put in, where not many teams get to do a 1-year rebuild where they can just, all right, let's experiment everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You've got absolutely nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And a brand new coach, obviously, as well, in Woosha, who's a great addition. I think Gold Coast have been kicking themselves that they couldn't convince him. But he's come in and said, all right, let's just see what happens.
I fucking love that. Essendon's got all these players out and Woosha's come in. And then Gold Coast put a thing on an offer on the table, and he's like, nah, fuck, that's a lost cause. I can handle a team that's lost their best 22. But
would have been replacing his best mate, too. But
true.
He's probably, which I think he's actually.
He is. He's up at Essendon. Midfield coach.
Bluey McKenna.
Yep.
But what they discovered was, like we said, McDonald, Tippin Woody, but also Zach Merritt.
Mm.
Yeah.
Who, did he win the best and fairest?
By a very, very long way.
Yeah. Probably unlucky that Essendon only won 3 games, which meant he is never going to get all Australian.
Which
you can kind of understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Gary Ablett did.
Merritt has quite the amount of runs.
And you can kind of understand.
Yeah. I mean, with all due respect, Gary Ablett, Zach Merritt, I mean, you never know, but... not
one
right
day.
The jury's still out on that one. Time will tell.
Time will tell.
But what I like about sort of from an objective point of view is seeing how it's going to play out for having a whole season off.
Yep.
In regards to injuries, concussions, niggles, things like that. How we get like, it's almost like a control that we can use to sort of judge against other teams and how that plays out. But also, in my opinion, I think that if you take a year off as a fan, that's like guarding leave and you've got the option of coming back to support a new team.
Really?
If you can drop off for a year, not follow the code at all, I'm kind of like, that's your punishment and come back and you should be fresh. So, yeah, Essendon, there's your excuse to find a new team.
No, well, see, I think that's an ASIO file on you if you do that.
Well, I have a few of those already, so.
I think there were multiple opportunities to jump off before 2016.
Yeah.
There's been a few. They've given it plenty of ammunition. And I think a few of the fans might have jumped off and then filed suit against the club. Because that's what you do.
I think it's Maurice Blackburn. They've got like a collective going on, so sign up.
The class action.
Major sponsors now, aren't they, as well?
They own the club, I think, now. They're so far in debt that they've taken ownership.
Mm.
So let's have a look at the outs then. Obviously, there's a lot of the top-up players that are out. There's too many to mention. But besides that, Adam Cooney's called time.
Yeah,
He had his moments.
He tried his best, but his knees just were never going to let him be Brownlow medal form.
And I think he came into the club thinking, I think he had a choice between us and North Melbourne before 2015, picked Essendon, and I think that, well, obviously 2015 didn't go as many people in Essendon planned, and I don't think it was really what he signed up for, to be honest. But he was a good foot soldier and became the new whipping boy with Brent Stanton now.
Had he come to North, he would have been part of the Boomer 4, would have been the Boomer 5 on there.
Yeah, he might have been.
And great value on social media as well, so it almost pays for itself there.
Oh, look, I'm disappointed they didn't mic him up every game. He would have been fantastic. Even though they might be getting pumped, he would be the smart ass of the century.
Do you reckon they could trade him in for Lingy and no one notice for a while? They're like, hang on, Lingy's actually pretty funny.
Yeah. No, I think everyone would notice within the first 10 seconds.
Lingy's making sense here.
In fact, trade him in for Darcy as well. I've got an opinion. Holy fuck, what have they done with Darcy?
Tate Pears, again, another servant of the club and whipping boy at times.
Mm.
But it's just called time as well.
Yeah, he started off as a sort of a great white hope for Essendon fans back in the Matthew Knights sort of era, like 2009. Yeah. He was a sort of attacking centre half back.
Oh, the golden age.
Yeah.
You never thought you'd look back on those years, probably.
When it's a wash between Matthew Knights and the James Herder, it's been the best sort of half decade. Anyway, he just sort of dropped off under Herd for whatever reason, and then, you know, injuries sort of caught up, and I'm pretty sure he's come to firing or something like that.
Join
the fire brigade.
Every bastard joining the fire brigade.
Well, every bastard says they are.
Yeah.
They never do, though.
I don't think Tate Pears had a media deal.
Is this a code or something? I'm joining the fire brigade. Is that...
Well, sometimes it's used as a, can I please not get charged for drunken and disorderly? Which I think Heath Scotland tried that one a couple of times. Mm. Courtney Dempsey was... Geez, you got rid of a few whipping boys.
They've decided
to have a real clean out, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean, Dempsey was Dempsey. He would do, you know, outlandish shit now and again, and he would do...
sometimes he'd do dumb shit, sometimes he'd do really dumb shit.
Yeah, And I think with a lot of, you know, the best 22 out in 2016, a lot of his deficiencies were more noticeable.
More obvious.
The butchered kicks, poor decision making's not as noticeable when you've got, you know, Hurley or Hooker or, you know, whatever in the back line to
everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. To cover up, but with less, you know, troops around him, it really sort of showed.
Yeah.
I think there is a phase when you have to decide whether a player is a brilliant player with occasional moments of idiocy or an idiot with occasional moments of adequacy.
And I
think he's sort of the latter.
See, these Tigers, we need a permanent position for someone to have a full-time role in that job, because we still haven't figured that out, like back of house or front of house.
Yeah. Are you shipped off Vickery? You've done well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, broken clock's right twice a day.
Am I right in Courtney Dempsey, if I mixed him up with someone else, that his career highlight would be back-heeling the ball that accidentally and then catching it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, this
rainbow.
And do you reckon he planned that at all?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I don't think he plans ever to get a kick.
This worked on PlayStation.
Well, yeah. What's the best thing he does? I mean, that's all he played, all he practiced. That was it.
His
one moment.
And Pig Hibbard gone as well, who is a bit of a shock, I thought, trading out to Melbourne. But you can understand if any player said, look, I've just had enough.
Yeah.
I want out.
Yeah.
But he's a handy soldier.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really, really good for Melbourne this year with him and Malcolm sitting there at halfback. They've got... they're going to get some really, really good delivery from the back line. Well, and that's what he was good.
If Essendon had their druthers, and you got one of those two back, you pick Hibbard over Melksham.
Oh, any day of the week, yeah. Hibbard was borderline All-Australian for a while back, sort of 2013, 2014, and had a bit of a down year in 2015, but he's still really like good penetrating kick off half-back that you can sort of set up play from. So I think he's going to be really, really good at Melbourne.
I'm actually kind of shocked they redrafted Sean McKernan.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the players where I want him to do well because he just tries his ass off.
He does.
Yeah.
But he's just not.
Well, they've tried him as a ruckman.
And he got exposed.
Yeah.
Well,
he's too fucking short.
Well, he is our ruckman now. Louis
he's
got,
now. Louis yeah, went down Louis today, got, yeah.
Did a hammy, which, you know, should surprise him. Well, the most surprising thing about that is it wasn't his Achilles or his foot. Yeah.
Are they still got James Kelly running around again?
Yeah, Essendon legend James
Cameron. So, how many of the top up stayed? It was him and the
Matty
Richmond,
Matty D.
Yeah. Who had a good year.
He did. Yeah.
And James Kelly, I was surprised because he had a great year, but
yep.
you thought, he's probably had enough. But
he finished second or third in the Jason Ferris, James Kelly.
I'm not surprised. He had a good year.
He was great. Yeah. He was the one that
just
thought
wise head.
Yeah, that I thought wouldn't see much. Game time, but he slotted in at halfback, and you know, good steadying here.
Yeah, he'll play at least seven games this year.
He always played every game, didn't he? He was like up to 18 or something like
close
that.
Close to it,
Yeah.
Well, you only need 7 to get to 300.
Well, it's good value.
Is that all he needs? There you are.
Kelly, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So they'll lift him over that line at the very least.
Even though he's only been there 1 year, he's earned that right.
Yeah.
Chiches.
Yep.
I reckon they'll give out free caps.
On the inside, besides the returning players, we've got Josh Green, who I think is a good pickup. Because he just needs a little bit of tweaking. Because he's that goal hungry, I'm going to kick a goal no matter what, kind of small crumbing forward. And you need one.
Yeah.
You always need one. Mm. You just need to remind him that, sometimes you can defend as well if you like. Handballs, they're all right. You know? Don't listen to KB.
Once you get some forward pressure and kick a goal out of it, that's when they realise, hang on, this defence stuff, that's not too bad.
Yeah. I get goals from this.
Yeah. A goal sneak who doesn't like passing off, he won't get 400 plus games out of
it. And it's got to be good to have a little redhead running around in the forward line again.
Yeah, well, it is a prerequisite for an Essendon premiership. So.
Joe Buick. Joe Buick, fucking retard.
Darren.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Moorcroft, who
took
a couple up there. So.
Is that like a breeding program or something?
Yeah, I think it's called Scotland.
It's not out of Essendon's realm to try
eugenics.
Scientific, pushing the boundaries, so to speak.
Whatever it takes. And James Stewart from GWS, who I think is a handy pickup because I think he paid nothing for him.
No, he was absolutely peanuts, fourth round pick or something. I've watched him in the first 2.5 preseason games, and he is going to be a really, really big addition to our forward line because it's one less defender that Danaher has to deal with, and it's one extra forward that we can kick to when Danaher's not having a great game.
I completely agree, and that's what shits me, is that GWS is... It's like when you're playing, say, those soccer manager games and you're cheating, and you've got all these ultra-good players, and so when a really good regular player comes along, you're like, oh, fuck, he can go.
Yeah.
That's what GWS are doing. They're like, oh, you're only really, really good? Nah, you can fuck right off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lobb came out of nowhere last year and became one of the best contested marks in the league.
Mm.
And I thought James Stewart was going to have a breakout year for GWS, but he just didn't get a look in.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Now he is.
Yeah.
Especially with Leuenberger going down today, like you said.
Yeah, well, that pretty much guarantees his spot for the foreseeable future with Louis and Bellchambers out. He's going to have to rock for a fair bit as well.
Yeah, let's be honest. McKernan's not really going to hold that fort down as much as I wish he would.
He was getting soundly beaten by Geelong's rocks today from the half that I saw, but he was still getting clearances and scratching kicks, and He tries.
You get 100% effort out of him, but he's going to be a negating ruckman at best. But you know, when you're 6'3" and trying to go up against the 6'10" monsters.
Well, the highlight I remember was last year or the year before when Goldstein just made him look like he was standing still. He chased him down, tackled him, stole the ball out of his hands, and then ran the other way and just showed him a clean set of heels. Like, fucking hell.
So looking forward to the 2017, the double-ups for Essendon. You got Brisbane twice, Carlton, Freo, Collingwood and Adelaide.
Yep.
Obviously, finishing dead last, you get a favourable draw. Mm. Adelaide's the only real danger there, I think.
Well, depending on what Fremantle or why.
Freo, like Essendon this year, you don't know. They could be top four or bottom four.
Yeah. But yeah, obviously Adelaide's the difficult one, or the most difficult one there. And I think the game in Adelaide is about round three or four, so we get that one early on. Pretty early.
I think that's a good idea for Essendon as well.
If West Coast play Freo before Essendon do, then you're probably in good position.
You always want to play either of the WA teams the week after the Derby.
Yeah.
Well, and also if Sammy Mitchell was playing on Fife, could get a corky or two.
That's true.
Dirty bastard that he is.
Plus, you've got double ups against Carlton and Collingwood, which will put lots of bums in seats. So, I mean, it's good for fans to get along. I mean, usually they're pretty big crowds at MCG, so it's
Anzac Day game will always be ridiculous.
Yeah. I think round one's already up to 90,000. Against Hawthorn, which is going to be unbelievable.
Yep. Very much looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
Do we have tickets for that?
We do. Sweet. I'm taking the little fella for
what
that.
What
night
one,
is it on? Saturday night.
Sweet. I'll get that off.
25th, I think it is, from memory. So who are we looking at? Who's going to have a big year for Essendon? Who's going to rise out of the ashes for them?
Heppel has to.
He's got their skipper's nod now, doesn't he?
Yep.
One of the worst kept secrets in AFL circles that he'd get the captaincy when he came back.
Watson's actually looked, speaking of like ex-captains, Watson's looked pretty good so far. I expect him to, you know, without the added responsibility of captaincy, he's going to, play with a bit more freedom. And he's looking to play forward a bit as well. So he's,
The one they need is Danaher, though.
Needs to.
Potential All-Australian, potential brilliant player.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But he fades in and out.
He can't kick straight. Mm. And for a bloke that takes as many marks and
he takes some absolute hangers.
Yeah, he can leap for a bloke that height. But even today, I saw he was on about a 45 having a shot, and he did the round the corner kick. The old Stevie J. And you're like, I mean,
on his opposite foot too.
On his opposite foot, you're like, okay, it's great. You kick the goal, but geez, mate, drop punts, mate.
Exactly. Yeah, get the fundamentals right first.
I thought he had a pretty fantastic year last year, considering he was our next tall forward. I can't remember now. I've blocked out most of the year.
Sam Grimley.
He played about three games. Mitch Brown. He would get double or triple teamed. Yep. You know. From the goal square up to the wing. And his goal kicking is always going to be an issue. And I think if it doesn't improve, you know, this year or next year, it's probably not.
Yep.
But his field kicking is pretty phenomenal.
Which is weird.
Bizarre.
To be fair, I can understand him not really feeling it because he's only on, what, 20 grand a year? I assume so, because he doesn't seem to be eating anything.
No.
Fucking skinny as... Like, seriously, can the bloke just have a snack once in a while? Put on a kilo or two? He looks like he's coming out of Auschwitz or some shit.
Well, you know, it's been a rough puberty for him. But once he gets through that first, then he'll look at meal plans.
Yeah.
I think for me, one of the ones that I've marked as not they need a big year out of, just to sort of set them up, is Michael Hartley. The 22-year-old, I think he was at Collingwood draftee.
Yeah, rookie
season last year. Big man too, playing in the back lines. I think he's like 100 kilo, 200 centimetres, so lots of body there. If you get those key defenders, then it's a great way to build your team. And you got like Goddard, who can drop back there, but he's more effective in the middle and pushing forward.
Mm.
So if he can come in there along with who else is their main backman?
We got Hooker and Hurley.
Hooker and Hurley.
Having Hartley allows Hooker to play forward, which gives us another target.
Exactly.
And Hartley was pretty fantastic last year as well. And with some extra help there with Hurley,
I think Kelly gives the experience behind them as well. If he's still running out again, I think that's a good way to give him another year just to put in that winning, I don't know what you call it, mentality or strategy. He's come from a team that knows their defense, is good at setting up attack from defense. And I think that's what Bombers need to do, because their squad, their young kids, are actually pretty decent. It's just a matter of figuring out where they go from here and what their strategy is going to be. But I think it's definitely going to be a very positive season, and lots of things they can look out for. And so he's the one that I want to have a good year, so that they can get the most out of Kelly, have them set up as a key defender, and also gives lots of bargaining chips as well. If you've got sort of a stack back line, you can offload them and fill in some gaps that you need.
Well, with that, McGrath's coming in too. Do you reckon he slots straight in? The number one draft pick.
Oh, well, I mean, who knows, man.
It's so hard with first year's draft picks. You don't know who's ready to play against men and who has before.
He's struggled a fair bit preseason. So, and I think Wishers said straight up that they're going to be more conservative with selection. So
he's only going to play against Carlton.
he'll play more often than not, but I don't think he's World Cup 22 just yet.
Well, he's got to get past Francis. Is he out for the year, Aaron?
No,
Francis,
or he's, I mean,
he's out for the start of the year.
Yeah, he's out for the start of the year, and I think they might. He ended the VFL last year playing as a third forward, so they might groom him for that role, but. McGrath, he probably has to get past Kelly and Gleeson.
So he's probably flank. I'll put the over under at 5 games for him, I reckon. If that was the line, I'd probably go unders too.
Yeah, because Essendon still got those.
No, no rush for him.
Those players that showed promise and definitely. I mean, putting their hands up to be the core of that team, like you've got Fantasia, who's having great years, and. We must have obviously Waller and Parrish.
Yep.
And I think if you can get that core group together, and you've got almost a clean slate to build a game plan, like a 5-year sort of plan to get into the finals, and then obviously you re-strategize from there.
Yep.
So I think they've got enough there. It's just about managing it correctly. And so if they're not going to play their number one draft picks, I think that's a good thing. So they can really see what they've got and where they're going to fit into it.
Lots of patience with them.
Yeah.
I mean, for the big years, they're the ones I put down too. But also Travis Collier. Because I really liked him before he got injured in 2015.
Yeah,
He looked like he'd put on size and pace.
Yeah,
And then obviously set out to as well. So it'd be interesting.
Well, that was the problem he did.
It'd be interesting if he can find that form again. I'm excited to see what he can do, because he looked like somebody that really attacked it.
He was a good line breaker.
Yeah.
And he's another one that's sort of. He's slotted in a bit better than others.
Yeah.
The returning group. I think he's just going to slot straight back onto a wing and, give us that sort of line-breaking pace.
Yeah, and that seems to be the way that the team's going. You need some of those people to break through the lines because it's getting so quick these days.
Yeah.
So if you just get Danaher to kick straight, that'll be pretty tough, because he's kicking pretty far too. Mm. So just the accuracy.
And we don't have the quickest midfield going around, so we do need that outside run.
Mm.
So on the other side of the coin then, who's on the chopping block at Essendon?
I don't think there's too many. I mean, there's a few that you really want to, they need to give.
Yeah.
Like Watson being one of them, you don't know what he's going to be capable of, but he hasn't had a bad season, he's been away. So you can't say he's on the chopping block. He's just, you won't know until halfway through the season.
They've essentially got a clean slate.
Yeah,
pretty much,
I think a few of the returning players, like say Myers and... Hocking, Howlett, these guys that were sort of best 22 2015 and previously, we've already got quite a slow midfield when you add in sort of Watson, Heppel, Merritt, Parrish. I don't think there's a lot of room for them in the best 22. They might find themselves out. Howlett, a goal-kicking midfielder who's, again, not the quickest guy in the world. You know, Langford's been playing that sort of role.
Yep.
Yeah.
And doing, and obviously is the future. And then obviously Bell Chambers as well. I mean, if he can't get on the park this year, I don't really see, you know. Yeah. I mean, there's only so many foot injuries a ruckman can have before.
Exactly.
Well, I think McKernan's probably on the chopping block just because he's never cemented his spot. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been redrafted as a rookie.
Yeah.
But he's lucky to be there because he's a depth player. He's a list clogger.
They've got him because they needed somebody.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's it.
He's a warm body.
You're available. It's, but Leuenberg went down today. Mm, yep. So that means he's going to get more opportunities.
Oh, it was a smart call. Like, to keep him.
Well, you had to.
Yeah.
You know, because they got him for nothing.
But I can't remember. Somebody in the call today said, you need your backup ruckman because it's not if they get injured, it's when they get injured.
Yeah. And it's just what happens. Leuenberger as well. He's, not the most durable person in the world.
He's the other one I had on the chopping block because we've heard how much potential he's got. I still haven't seen it.
Mm.
I still haven't, he's meant to be revolutionising the game, we heard, when he was up in Brisbane.
The problem is it's Call of Duty.
Yeah, exactly.
He's always off the fucking field.
He hasn't been top 10 ruckman in the league in any year yet. Mm, and he's 120 games in now.
Yeah. Really? I didn't realise he'd played that many.
Yeah, well, he sat out.
I knew he's been on plenty of seasons.
I was going to say, he sat out just as many, probably.
And I think that's hurt his development a lot.
Yeah, of course it has.
And obviously this year it has too, because, we're probably not going to see him for the first few
months
weeks.
At least.
Yeah, so... Yeah. There were flashes last year. I mean, he didn't have the best midfield group to work with, but he looked okay with the returning group so far. But I mean, we got him for 4 years, so he's 3 years in.
Is that long? He's been 3 years in.
Jeez. Oh, sorry, he's 3 years left.
3 years. Oh, yeah, gotcha.
So we don't really have. We've got a rookie ruckman. We don't have any other ruckman coming through.
Well, unless you lost the great Jonathan Giles, so
I know. That's the way
he's just collecting Guernseys the way he's going.
He is. I think consecutive seasons with West Coast.
It will be too. Yeah, it will be.
You would have good odds on that. Had you put a bet on?
Yeah, well, but you have to be half retarded to put a bet on.
I bet he was the only person at West Coast that was celebrating when Nat.
That would have been funny as hell. Like, goes down with an either. I was like, he's like,
I think Lysette went down this weekend too. He's Giles. Everything's coming up, Giles.
Mm. Some good news. Polly Hansen went down as well, man. She fucked off, lost her
seat. Did she?
Yeah, I
didn't even know.
Actually, not lost a seat, but
no, the WA elections. They got spanked. Yeah. Apparently, when they formed the preference deal with Liberals, the Nationals are pissed because they're their partners.
Yeah.
The Liberal supporters are pissed because they fucking hate Pauline Hanson, and then the Pauline Hanson supporters are pissed because they fucking hate the Liberals.
Yeah.
So everyone hated everyone.
The real winner of the
comedians. It sounds like every preference deal ever.
Exactly. Labour kind of Bradbury'd their way in there. Yeah.
2017 then, where do we see Essendon finishing? Will, you want to have the first reply? Where do you think? Because they are the most fascinating team going into this year, because they could go anywhere.
It's a Hollywood film in that in the Hollywood ending, they'd win a premiership. That's not going to happen.
You better tell Brennan Goddard that.
Poor lad.
I mean, it sounds wishy-washy, but I genuinely do not know.
Yeah.
We could win 14 games, we could win 4 games, we could win 6 games, whatever.
Yep.
Wouldn't surprise me. I do think there's going to be a few teething problems in the start of the season. Players getting used to play with each other, missed targets, missed, markings, assignments. That's just going to happen when you've got, 8, 9, 10 players coming into a side.
Yeah. Especially the way teams like to play a team defense, a zone defense.
Yeah.
And when old mate's not in his spot, you're like, mate.
Yeah. And teams will teams will punish you for that too. If you miss an assignment by 5 seconds, the run on that creates, you're giving up goals. So there's gonna be, some extended periods of, consecutive goals conceded and a bit of sort of not a lot of continuity, but I think they'll get there sort of towards mid-season. The issue is whether players will get burnt out by the end of the year. That's probably the worst case scenario.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of pressure on them though.
No,
to me, the pass mark isn't where they finish on the ladder. It's how they do in the key games, like Anzac Day.
Mm.
If they put in a good showing there, even if they lose, as long as they really give it a hard go, their supporters will be like, well, Anzac Day game, they put their ass on the line. There's a bit of blood on the field. That's good. We can run with that. And Drew Tom at the G to a lesser extent.
But I think round one is just as important as Anzac Day.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to set the tone for the season.
Oh, how
kind of Essendon
how they enter the field that day and how the supporters embrace them, and they'll go nuts. Like they will absolutely lose the plot, and so they should.
They'll be marching to the G again.
Yeah.
And only because I'm going, I hope it doesn't rain. But otherwise, geez, I wish for a thunderstorm.
That won't stop us.
No, look, I absolutely feel for the supporters. Like the club people that instigated everything and or did not do, called McGaddo, I don't fucking know. I don't have a lot of sympathy for them. But the supporters who have just been fucking week after week, Herald Sun front page after front page, they deserve a good game. Mm. They deserve to enjoy their walk to the game, see the players come out and give a shit.
Well, this is the first year since 2012 that, you know, it's relatively free of, kind of external crap.
Yeah. So far.
Yeah, so far.
That's what I think for me. I just want to see resilience out of them because they're going to get beat down a few times, you know what I mean? Mm. They're going to be, like I said, teething problems. And you want to see that they can bounce back and, you know, just water off a duck's back kind of thing because it's not going to be huge expectations. So even like St Kilda, when they were sort of in their formative years, 2 years, 3 years ago, they get smashed by like 40 points at half time and they'd always find a way to sort of claw back and put in that second effort.
Yeah.
And I think with young kids, that's what you'll see. So with the young squad that they've got, I think that'll be my sort of pass mark is if they can bounce back and not look at sort of the total wins and losses, but how you perform in those key games and when the real sort of pressure was on the line, how they reacted. And I think that's going to be sort of a pass mark.
I tell you what, I think the Essendon social media team's looking forward to this season more than any other team. They're like, oh, just none of this shit. I can just get on with here's the scores. Yeah, here's halftime. Yeah. That's all I want to do this year.
And they'll be going, oh, I remember this player. I know who he is now. Don't have to look at the record every 5 minutes. So where you got him finishing, Ben?
I've got him finishing, I've got him finishing 16th. But like we said, that could be anywhere between, I would say, 10th and 16th.
Yep.
I've got 15th. I think they'll win a couple of key matches, but I think the season is too long and they're a bit too likely to have a few key players go down at points.
Yeah. I've got them 11th, and I think that in the first 2 or 3 weeks, they're going to be playing on emotion.
Yeah.
And that'll get them through. But you're right, it's going to take them a while to gel again.
Yeah.
And then even some of the guys that have had the 12 months off, we just don't know what's going to happen with them.
Yeah.
I mean, then, like I say, then niggles might be gone, but it's that cohesion.
Yeah.
And then in the last month of the year, of the season rather, that's when you're going to say, all right, here's the team.
Yeah.
If they play finals, I mean, Woosher deserves a statue.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
If they play finals, he's coach for life. Yeah. He'll make Sheedy eat his dust. But I think they won't come in with the arrogance that you need for an AFL team. In that you get a few goals down, and some teams like, you know, Hawthorn, even West Coast, Adelaide, to their points. The other week, Gold Coast sort of lacked that arrogance as well. Or was it this week? That when you get a few goals behind, they're like, no, we still got this. Yeah. Like the sheer just, no. This is our day. We're going to win it.
Bit of Tom Brady.
Yeah. I don't think Essendon are going to have that because they're still, you know, a little bit browbeaten.
Well, if there's anybody that at Essendon that has that attitude, it's Hebel, and he's now leading them.
Yeah.
And he was leading them before anyway.
Yeah,
got on to a point.
Even though Hebel didn't have the captain's mantle, like he was acting as a leader.
Anyway. And he was because I think what's a miss like the last half of 2015. So I mean, he was de facto captain.
Yeah, I think. Was it? Did Goddard take him through last year?
Yeah.
So he's
and didn't do a bad job.
Yeah, he was fine.
Well,
yeah.
He couldn't do a bad job. I mean, realistically, they didn't. They had a couple of 100-point losses. I don't know. I can't remember the exact number. But it wasn't every second week.
I think the biggest one was 138. I think that was Hawthorn that did it.
Yeah, it was about 110, I think.
Yeah, I know that there was the Hawthorn one, but again, it wasn't. Oh, that was the night there was a soccer on, wasn't it? No, that might have been another year. But it wasn't a good game at all. It was just, I think there was like 2,000 people there just about.
Yeah. Was that the game where Goddard was trying to give someone a spray and they gave it back to him? Or someone, was it Heppel that gave Goddard a spray?
Might have been the year before.
That would
have
been.
Year
I think Goddard gave a spray to somebody and Heppel grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and said, hey, mind in the game.
Yeah.
Then Goddard kicked a goal 2 minutes later and went straight back to Heppel and went, yeah, you're fucking right, aren't you?
Yeah.
And that's when you know he's going to be the next captain.
Exactly,
Just had to wait an extra year for it. So we haven't got them back in the finals yet, but to be honest, it's probably one of the best wooden spoon seasons and one of the most unique seasons last year. And it's going to be...
let's hope it stays unique.
it's almost a Petri dish this year.
Interesting as
he's a West Coast
objective observer how they go. Like, I'm interested to see how they play, you know what I mean? It's going to put my interest back in their games.
Don't get me wrong, I still want to see them get flogged every week.
Oh, yeah, we'll have it any other way. Exactly.
That's how it goes, especially round one. All right, that'll do us for Essendon. Welcome back to the AFL.
Good luck, guys.
Cheers.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.